September 16, 2020 is the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. We had some diff, but not impossibility because we kept pushing and persevering and bringing you up. Doing three shows a week during this time since March, huh? We start off with Loresto from John Coltrane with Kenny Burrell. Kind of different for John Coltrane. He didn't usually record with guitars, but he did here. In fact, one time Kenny Burrell played here at Pedro. I went and saw it. Dezzo's daddy booked it. Ozzy Cadena. It was at the, I don't know who owned it then, but some tail downtown that nobody goes to. Then we had a Lowell Screwdriver. Not that kind of rodeo. And this is my guess. Because I'm not, Brother Matt, yeah, he's at the Law of Grotto, a couple miles south here. Pleasure Point, quick quarantino mode. But not totally man alone because those Skype engineers in Estonia with their invention. I've got Steve, Grant, Donald with me. Welcome aboard.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Now, who wants to go first? Because I want to find out about your journey through music. Before you even got the band together.
I can go first.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah.
Your earliest music memory in your brain.
My earliest music memory is fourth grade, and I liked this girl, and she decided she was going to join the beginning band. And I was like, well, if Tiffany is joining the beginning band, then I am joining the beginning band. Well, Tiffany quit, but I kept playing drums.
Well, what is the beginning band?
The beginning band, yeah, fourth grade. It's like the grade in public school, at least in California, where they say, hey, do you want to play an instrument, a band instrument? And then kids go, oh, does it get me out of science class? Great, awesome. Yeah, I want to play a band instrument. And then, you know, the beginning band directors hope it sticks, and you get all these trumpet players and sax players. And for me, it was drums. And it just kept going. It just kept joining the band every year. But it was all because of a girl, which I feel like is everyone's story.
No, it's the first time I've heard this kind of story. In fact, I came from Virginia, but I was third grade starting here. In Pedro, and there was no fucking group band. What town were you in?
Oh, I was in Fremont, California. So it was right near where I live now.
I think they built Teslas.
Yeah, yes, they do.
They sure do.
In fact, right, like, a mile from our studio is the Tesla building station. So, yeah, but that's fourth grade beginning band in California. That's how they do it. It's like a after-school program.
No, Fremont, because Pedro, and in fact, I know it, Flea started his Silver Lake Conservatory of Music because when he went back, they got rid of the music program. I think all the schools are different. They're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, I'm old now, and it's, you know, that was 30 years ago. So, you know, the music programs have changed a lot.
You're less young. I bet you're not as old as I am.
Maybe not.
Because we got rid of that fucking old word anyway. There's more young and less young.
Yeah.
Okay, So they got a room, I'm imagining, in my brain, and they had all these instruments, and you picked the drum set.
That is exactly right. Yep, they have all these instruments. You walk in, and you go, oh, I'm going to play the snare drum. And you just, you know, you have no clue. My parents are not musical. They listen to some really shitty music, and I, you know, had a really horrible upbringing when it comes to listening to quality music. So then it was just kind of like, well, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to play drums. But it really stuck with me.
What I was going to say was probably at home there was no drum set.
No. I didn't
maybe there was set. Maybe there was no musical instruments. Maybe the people at your pad in Fremont there were just listeners.
Yes, not even one musical instrument. My dad likes to say he played the triangle. And I said, thanks, Dad, for the help. But yeah, no, there was nothing. It was just sheer luck that I decided to do it, and then I just kept going with it.
You know, triangle is percussive. I think if you're in, like, an orchestra and shit, you learn how to do that.
Yeah. I mean, a triangle is a good instrument, but...
Well, what I'm saying is, like, orchestra percussion isn't really a trap set.
No. If you're playing orchestra percussion, it's definitely not. It's just percussion, and, you know, I definitely did my fair share of triangle gigs for $50.
Okay, what was your... first gig you saw?
First gig that I saw, like, I went, first concert I went to, Bon Jovi.
Okay. And what was the first record you bought with your own fucking money?
Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood.
Okay. And did you do the thing outside of school, like a garage band, bedroom band, basement band?
Yeah. Once I got to middle school and then definitely in high school, just started I played with lots of bands in high school. Everyone I could, actually, anywhere.
So, Steve, you must have got your own drum set by this point. You weren't using the schools anymore. When did you get your first drum set?
Yeah, it took my parents about 3.5 years to get me a drum set. Around seventh grade, so 13 years old, finally got a drum set, 12, 13. But my parents did not like this idea that I wanted to be like Tommy Lee and, be a rock star. But they finally came around and got me a drum set.
And where did you practice?
I practiced in my basement.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is this where you brought your friends in to, like, make your bands?
Yeah, the basement and then the garage when we moved to a place out of garage. It was definitely a garage band.
Now, did it have a name?
No, we didn't name it. I don't think we ever named it.
So you never did a gig?
The band? The band had a name. Yeah, I had, there was a whole list of them. The first band was Sunrush. And that band did a couple parties, maybe some gigs at the school. And then there was Toastmasters with Donald. Donald was in that band. Then there was Chachi Boba Fett and the Wookiee, which Donald and Grant were both in.
What band did you do your first gig with?
Definitely Sunrush. First gig at a party. It was at, I think it was one of my parents' friends' parties. So nobody liked the music, and we just kept playing anyways as loud as we could.
I'm wondering about the material. Was it original, or were you copying off records?
It was originals and Smashing Pumpkins covers. No, maybe it was before Smashing Pumpkins.
No, it was Smashing Pumpkins.
You into Jimmy Chamberlain?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, what did that, Siamese Dream, or even before that, what was the album before that?
Gish.
Gish came out early.
I have no idea, but I met Jimmy, and he's good people. And
he's a great drummer.
You know what? He's a big fan of Elvin Jones.
Yeah, you know, and I hear some of his playing. He keeps his hi-hat going a lot during his playing, and I remember learning all those hi-hat parts. And now sometimes I listen to my drum parts, and I'm like, oh, damn, I can't stop my hi-hat because I learned his drum parts early on.
Well, you know, because, you know, in those days, they used the kick drum for bombs. They didn't use it for keeping the beat. And the hat or the ride cymbal, that was the metronome.
Right, yeah.
It's just a whole different thing, you know. I think because of the bass players played a different way, too. It was because of the machine, you know, just style and the machines and, you know, different things. And
of course.
It's all music, right? It's all rhythm and notes and melody and feelings and laughing and crying. And look, I want to play Ramp Park.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We heard Rampart, Kalola Screwdriver. I found out that's a drink, some kind of liquor.
Yeah.
You know, cocktail.
It's one of the, we think of it as being like the world's worst tiki cocktail.
Yeah, but I thought it was one of the world's best band names, and I was really let down. No.
That's the whole experience of our band.
Yeah, brand new from the entire spectrum.
No, it's cool.
Experience.
Don't worry. There's a lot worse names. Come on, a lot worse. Dick Crane and the Blue Veins. You know, I remember us playing in the city. This was Firehose days, and there was a band. Uncle Bob Touched Me. Yeah.
There's some indie rock band that's somewhat famous called Diarrhea Planet. And,
Indie rock is so funny because somehow it like describes the sound, how the way you organize your finances. Okay,
exactly.
Let me talk about the songs here. Thor Harrison, Rob Halverson, Brand New, Heartfelt Apology, Only Now in Oregon with Alvis, number one, first part. Guided by a Voice, of Skull Arrow. You got to put out 5 albums a year, like fucking Bob Pollard. His Name Is Alive, Brand New Chords version. Few with Doze from her first out. Bogdan Rosinski, Sayonara Sutara. It rhymes. The Hawk from Iowa City with Pong. Managed to write a song about Pong. Okay. The Go Team, Brand New, B-side, Free Breakfast Program. They used to have that in Oaktown, huh? The Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Salvation. In Heaven, Forge Again Records. Go to Magic Mirror, the Bandcamp site. That's Jason with his. This is Benefit Record. What do you call that? Flexi discs. They used to come on in fanzines. Remember fanzines?
Yeah.
To me,
come in cereal boxes too. You could get the record onto the back of the cereal box.
I think websites should be like fanzines. No middleman. Why go to Fake Look or Shit or Instant Ham? And then finally. Redacted by Aloha Screwdriver. That's a scary word. Donald's next because he might have to fucking pull the ripcord on his people. That's okay. No wine before it's time or later than it's time, right? Donald, your earliest music memory, please.
Earliest music memory for me was walking in on my dad sing along to Willie Nelson records in the living room. And that was probably, I was maybe like 3 or 4.
Any instruments in the pad?
Growing up, my mom had a piano, and I took piano lessons in grade school, and I hated it. I hated every minute of it.
Okay, now, this is a common thing on this show, and it usually depends on, I'm going to ask you, did you like the teacher?
No.
See,
no.
It's usually the fucking teacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, did you learn to read? I mean, did you put up with it for very long?
I put up with it for years, and I remember, I think I was able to quit around 6th grade, and I wrote like a whole essay about how my happiest memory in life up to that point was quitting piano lessons.
And you talked in school, so were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, none of that. I think my school, grade school, had like their music program was like recorders. Like you could blow on a flute if you wanted, but I had no interest in it at that point.
Yeah,
it wasn't until junior high school I got interested in bass guitar, and then I asked my mom to take if I could take bass guitar lessons.
So what? I gotta tell people, recorder doesn't just mean a device that records you. It's also a diatonic kind of flute thing, people.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be surprised. Anyway, I'm surprised. Why'd you pick bass guitar?
I think it was that era. It was one of those things that grabbed me. Like in the wind at that time, there was Red Hot Chili Peppers, there's Primus, there was just a lot of really out there bass guitar playing that grabbed me, and I just thought it seemed far enough away from piano, and 4 strings seemed
left
like
hand.
Something I could master.
Left hand, Donald. Right? Left hand's the bass clef, right?
Yep.
Correct. I shouldn't say right. My pop said, don't be ambiguous, boy. Especially when given directions, right? Correct.
So, yeah, in a lot of Steve's early garage bands, I was in those bands playing bass guitar. It wasn't until a lot later that I picked up a
guitar. I'm a little curious. What was the fucking first bass guitar you got?
it was a cheap kind of, what was the brand on that guitar? I don't even remember. I got a used Yamaha guitar.
But you can't remember your first bass. You can't remember your first bass.
I could tell you. I could draw it for you. I could show you the fanned out.
What about your first
tuning pegs?
What about your first amplifier?
It was a Crate.
Okay. Like 112, 115?
Yeah, like a little tiny practice amp.
Right. It's all right, man. You know, we all got to come. I had to rock a Peavey early minute. And my first bass was a K. It kind of looked like an EB3 Gibson, but it was a K. And I took a drill bit and I taped sandpaper on it and fucking took all the finish. I had like, it looked like the surface of the moon. Bullshit. But you know when you're a boy. Anyway, what was the first gig you went and saw?
The first gig I went and saw was an embarrassing one to admit, but it was Warrant with Pauly Shore opening up as like a comedian.
Yeah, funniest guy ever. When I saw second time I saw television, they had a comedian open up at the Roxy, West Hollywood, and I remember the last joke. He like holds the he had a beer bottle, you know, he's drinking a beer, and he puts it down by his cock, you know, and like he's pissing. He goes, "You want to hear a heroin joke?" That was it. Yeah, okay. And then, like, can you believe that shit? And then Dick Lloyd came out, and he strap fell off, and he kept making it. Yeah, so someone was on heroin, right? I mean, the guitar hit the deck, and he was still strumming, right? Okay, what was the first record you bought, Donald, with your own money?
It was Run DMC's Raising Hell. I remember going into the record store and asking for it. Like,
I saw that tour with Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
At the Greek Theater.
I wish I had.
Raymond Pettibone. No, I think I did. I saw it outside, sitting on the grass. And then, did you do the shit like Steve did with Garage Band, Basement Band, Bedroom Band?
Yeah, I think most of the bands Steve listed there, I played in at some point.
That's right.
So Steve and
you guys were together, but you didn't go to grade school together.
No.
No. Yeah. I think we found that at some point maybe we were in the same grade school but different classes, and then Steve moved away and came back, and yeah. But really it was like freshman year in high school where things started really taking off in terms of playing in garage bands.
Sure. You know, Vincent only painted the last 10 years of his life. So you don't have to be a child prodigy to get into music, right? Whenever it comes, it comes. So I should go to Grant. Grant.
Yeah.
Earliest music memory, please.
I'm struggling to remember exactly what it is, but I think...
On the Watt from Pedro show, there are no hard questions and there are no wrong answers.
Wonderful. My grandfather was an accordion and concertina player. And his brothers played too, and so often at family parties he would just bust out the concertina and start playing these like old Slovenian folk songs and some popular music from the 30s and 40s or something.
He's Slovene, because we have a lot of Slav, Croatia, in San Pedro here. Okay.
Yeah.
And in fact, my second man, organ man, as a boy, he learned accordion because of these traditions.
Nice.
Now, were you asked to learn?
No, I did what, you know, he passed when I was really young, and then I stayed close with one of my great uncles, and he eventually gave me, when he passed, he made sure I got my grandfather's concertina, but I've never, you know, I've messed around with it a little bit, but there was never like pressure to play, and it's one of those things I keep thinking, like, maybe one day I'll bust it out.
Now, were you in the, so that was the only instrument in the pad, was the...
We didn't know that wasn't even in our house. We did have one of the other things I was remembering was we had this weird, they made these like organs that were kind of real lightweight, like portable things, but they had, you know, they had like legs on them. It was maybe a 3 or 4 octave, maybe just 3. And then it had like a 1 octave pad off to the left that had, you know, some different tones. I think it was like bass, you know, more bass register. And I remember like no one in my house played. No, and there was no keyboard player in my home, but we had that, and I would mess around with it as a kid.
So it was to like sit shit on. It was like a table.
Yeah. I don't know. I assume at some point my mom attempted to learn because she sang and stuff, but I don't know. So I would go mess with it.
But you did. Okay, but yeah. no lessons, no training.
Mm-mm.
And what about school, grade school and shit? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or?
I joined the, you know, similar to Steve, I joined the school band. I was a little older, seventh grade. And I just picked tenor saxophone because they were all, you know, it was one same kind of thing where it was like, all right, what do you want to play? And all these kids who were playing saxophone were picking alto. And I was like, what's the bigger one? They said tenor. I said, yeah, I want to play tenor. So I always wound up being one of, you know, two or maybe three tenor players in the school bands.
Well, John Coltrane started alto but went to tenor after... Yeah. Playing with Cleanhead Vincent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know what, though? We're running out of time on the first. I'm going to continue with your story with the second hour here. People, it's September 16, 2020 edition of the Watford Pedro Show. Special guest, Aloha Screwdriver. Hold tight for hour two. September 16, 2020 is the second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Don't you know I'm a listener, honey? when push comes to shove. All I want is your love. All I want is your love. Can't lately catch a good night's sleep, and I'm down in the hole pretty deep. The dealer said, "Read 'em and weep." I think I'm going on a midnight cream. See, I got about an hour to kill. Somebody told me I was over the hill. But I can still, baby, give you a thrill. Just try, be a promise I will. Cause listen up, honey, when push comes to shove, all I want is your love. All I want is your love.
Let it go, 感情. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show, second hour. We start off with the lowest screwdriver doing It Fell From Earth. And I was telling these guys, D. Boone's favorite Creedence song was came out of the sky. What town was that?
El Cerrito.
Yeah, El Cerrito. I always face on that. But that's the town CCR was actually from. Very northwest bayou. About 1,800 miles. But that's what music and art's for. It's for transcending reality, right?
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that. I can imagine the first cave painting and the guy saying to his buddy, well, what do you see? And what'd the guy say? You know, chromium nitrate? No, man, it's a buffalo. It's a horse. You know, use your imagination, motherfucker. We had Sam Bennett from Tokyo. All I Want Is Your Love. And Sam Lockward with I Was the Mean Bitch. Yeah, they kind of go together. The Chef Cooks Me, they're from Tokyo, too. Suitable Darkness. Sam Bennett actually originally from Birmingham, where Sun Ra. Mystical Weapons, Distant City. That's Greg from Deerhoof with Sean Lennon. Jim McHugh after that, Song for the Gone. Kim Salmon and Spencer P. Jones. We lost Brother Spencer to cancer last year. Yeah, great cat. He was on the other guitar with Beast of Bourbon, the last tour I got to do with the Stooges. Mm-hmm. And a lost screwdriver after that with In Hell, There Are No Donuts. So to continue, Grant, I want to know how you get on the guitar.
Yeah, so I, around that same time, in like seventh grade or so, you know, my mom had an old acoustic guitar. So I'm now realizing there's a theme. My mom just had instruments lying around that she didn't play. She had bought an acoustic guitar, nylon string, when she was in Hawaii in the 60s, and it sat in a closet. And I think my oldest brother, I have two older brothers, I think my oldest brother, Jason, had messed around with it a little bit, but, you know, I would sneak into his closet and steal it and start learning stuff. And then I, you know, had some friends who were starting to play guitar and,
you would sneak it out. Would you sneak it back in?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wanted to be undetected.
Right. Incognito. Now, you don't need an amp. It's a nylon string, yeah, Spanish style kind of thing. So you would play records and try to figure out shit? Or did you have somebody?
Alone. I mean, like Steve, my parents had a pretty atrocious music collection. Not atrocious. They had a few Beatles records. They had some jazz stuff that I would later come to appreciate, but a lot of just this kind of like corny 60s folk stuff that didn't resonate with me at the time. And so I also stole, my brother had a cassette copy of some, I want to say it was like Ugly Kid Joe or something, you know, some not that great band from the time either. But and I would put that on and I would basically play it like a bass. Like I would just learn the root. I could kind of hear the root note and play along with that. That's how I got started.
Now, I got to ask you, first record you bought with your own money?
I think it might have been a They Might Be Giants cassette.
Okay. They make music for little kids now.
They do.
So you're way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, exactly.
And what was the first gig you went and saw?
I think the first real show I saw was a big festival, like a you know, multiple stages, big arena show that a local radio station had put on. And this was the late 90s. So I just looked this up the other day because I was talking about it with a friend. And the headliner was Smash Mouth, which seems absurd now, knowing what other, like Fiona Apple was on that bill and Cake and some other bands that I think have endured a lot better. But yeah, that was the first one, and
well,
I still.
Grant, you know, there was a time when with a tour where Jimi Hendrix opened up for the Monkees.
Yeah.
So you know, this ain't new, right? And fucking Pat Boone sold more Tutti Frutti's than Little Richard.
Yeah.
So this ain't nothing new, all right.
For sure.
Shit getting co-opted by jive shit, yeah.
But even that, you know, at that show, I was hanging out. There was a parking lot stage, I think. And that was where, like, some more local bands and more of the smaller bands were playing. And that's where I was parked because I didn't like, I still don't really like those big arena shows.
Yeah. I remember I went to see the California Jam and I didn't like it. even though Black Oak Arkansas, Black Sabbath was pretty good. Earth, Wind, and Fire was great. 110 degrees. You know, it was out in Ontario, which is pretty near the desert.
Yeah.
But it was like, yeah, too many people. You know, because I didn't know about club shit as a teenager.
Same.
D Boomer. Yeah, all we knew was arena rock. Our first gig was T-Rex. I want to play The Calamari Kid.
Individual you can step on for a while. But when I call it quits, baby, that's it. I'm the kind of person you might hurt once in a while. But crawling ain't my style. I don't hold no grudge. Deep inside me there's no regret. But a woman who's been forgotten may forgive, but never forget. You see, I'm the kind of individual you can step on for a little while. But when I call it quits, baby, that's it. I'm the kind of person you might hurt once in a while. Crawling ain't my style. I don't hold no grudge. Deep inside me there ain't no regret. But a woman who's been forgotten may forgive, but never forgive.
Believe it. How and Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off that chunk with Calamari Kid. Enlightening. Well, I screwed up. Sorry, there are only two left. Attrition has whittled Donald out of the fucking band. Well, because of those delays, because. And that hardly ever happens on my computer show, but these cats will come on again and be a 3P. But they'll get us the story on how it came together, even though that Donald goes way back with Steve. Then we have I Hold No Grudge, Betty LeVette. Steve Abercrombie with Gone, Jeff Fertitti, Just Don't, brand new. Two backs out of Italy, Su Gruppo. Kind of fucked that up. Yeah, Scoozy, right? A Long Screwdriver with maybe Canada.
Mm.
You're getting a little fucking foreign and exotic there, you know? With your
Canada, well, that's...
and your calamari. And... So now how'd the band get together? Well, obviously, Donald and Steve were playing as boys in other bands.
Yeah, well, Grant was with us, too. So Donald.
Oh, wow. Okay. When did you first all three come together?
Yeah, good question. So Donald and I are the same age, and Grant is a few years younger than us. He's our baby. We had a surf band in high school, Chachi, Boba Fett, and the Wookiee, and we needed a sax player, and Grant was willing and able, and so we got him to play saxophone in the band. But like I said, we were a little older, so we were playing gigs and playing out at the, you know, at local clubs and stuff like that, and Grant wasn't really allowed to go. The time.
Yeah, I was allowed to, you know, play a handful of the shows that they did, but there would be a number of shows that were saxless.
Yeah, so we'd play a lot of shows without our sax player. Because
we're talking about the 21 age limit, people.
Well, yeah.
No, it wasn't even that. Half of it was just my mom being uncomfortable with me going to rock clubs with these older boys.
Yeah, this was... Because I was going to say that they fucking sell fucking beer at baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, we were in high school when all this happened, and we cut our first, you know, cassette tape, and Grant is on it. I actually just listened to it the other day, and I forgot that Grant plays a saxophone on it, and we actually got our high school band director to play trumpet on it, too, which was kind of funny. But yeah, no, we were in high school when we were playing these gigs, and we'd go to Grant's house and try to convince his mom to let him go to the gigs.
You know, with the fucking trumpet and the sax, we tempted to... Instead of being surf, being ska?
We never tried ska. We did play with a lot of ska bands. Nobody really knew, especially back then, where to put surf bands. So we would always get put with, like, Monkey and Skink and Pickle and all these ska bands. And that was the ska or punk music, but we'd be this instrumental surf punk rock band in the middle of it that, I don't know, I think it worked because we were...
You know, what made you... Want to be a surf band, for example, inspiration bands.
I mean, I think most of the surf stuff comes from Donald, which is unfortunate that he's not here. But he, at the time, there was this kind of revival of surf music in the mid-90s. And so I think because of, like, Pulp Fiction, you know, Quentin Tarantino put a bunch of surf music on the Pulp Fiction soundtrack. And so Donald just kind of went exploring down the... that path, and I think he'd grown up maybe listening to some, but yeah, it was just kind of a like, let's do something a little against the grain. Everyone's starting these, you know, rock bands. Let's do something a little different.
I think also it had to do a little bit with, we didn't have to sing. I think, you know, for younger musicians, like you, singing is maybe the hardest thing to hump to get over. Like, oh, I can play licks on my bass or my guitar, but can I actually sing in tune, or do I sound like shit? So with instrumental surf rock, we could play whatever we wanted, and we didn't have to worry too much about singing or finding a good singer, I guess.
You know, there was a surf guitarist who played trumpet at his gigs.
No, who was that?
You know, he did the song you're talking, Pulp, the big tune. In the
Oh, Dick Dale?
Yeah. In his gigs, he whipped out the fucking trumpet.
That's right.
Okay.
He's an odd cat.
You know what? Well, you know what? It's funny about all this genre stuff, you know, because to me, music is music. And this, I had to learn this because of the word punk, you know, like, because at first punk in the 70s, I'm talking about, it was like, and up north there, the city, they had a way bigger scene than us here. It was anything. It wasn't just fast guitars and Mohawks. I was talking to somebody the other day on the show, Cube maybe. It was wide. You know, you've heard Throbbing Gristle, right? Not a lot of beats there. So, yeah, you know, maybe it's something you have to, like, come upon yourself. But all these tags of what you have to play and genres, I always thought it was some giant thing for marketing guys to try to make their job easier. So, but as far as surf music and surf bands, incredibly, look at Keith Moon. Steve, I should ask you, because this guy.
Yeah.
Totally. And he came up with his own style, right? He's not exactly playing surf. In fact, fuck, he never played hi-hat. Well, he played it, but didn't use the pedal part, right? It was just one of the cymbals.
Yeah.
Until, like, last album they did or something. But, you know, and Bob Rann, right? That's his fucking theme song. The surf thing, I think, informed a lot of different kinds of music. And still, I'm playing with a guy now, Mike Baghetta, a jazz guy, who's kind of a Nels Klein. And people right away, they'll say surf when they hear it.
Huh.
So, you know, I'm wondering if you really have to be faithful to some kind of, like, recipe. Like,
no.
Yeah, you made that stromboli wrong.
Too
much garlic. Not enough onions, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we were inspired in the 90s by, there's another band called Man or Astro Man from Alabama.
Actually, they went to school. They all went to one of them has a club I played in Birmingham called Saturn.
Yeah, I've heard stuff.
The drummer man. Right. They went to Auburn.
Yeah.
Right, they're college guys. And there was actually an all-girl version.
Yes.
great band. So you guys were inspired by them. Good guys.
Yeah, because they were kind of genre breakers. They were playing surf-inspired music, but adding all these crazy, like, sci-fi sound effects and kind of, you know, the drums were not traditional surf drums all the time. And
Yeah. Also, intense outfits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 16, 2020 edition, Wild Peter Show, special guest, Aloha Screwdriver. Hold tight for hour three. September 16, 2020. It's the third hour of the Wild for Peter Show.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro. Shall we start off the third hour with, wow, some French here. These guys are exotic. Le Temps de l'Amour, Time of Love, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And Lois Screwdriver. Crane after that with The River of Life, Bronze Age UFO, or maybe UFO, huh? It's one of the cats from Mold Omen out of Baltimore. Boys Will Be Voids, A. It's a little four-part suite there, and I'll play it next three shows, the other three parts. Lois Screwdriver with there. It looks like second installment, something called Slave.
Slave 2.
Right, there must have, but you didn't send me Slave 1.
Slave 1 was from Chachi Boba Fett and the Wookiee. It's on that link I sent you to the music.
Yeah, Watt's a little busy. Can't follow all the links and shit, but yeah. I listened to all the music that you gave me, though. So thank you so much, Steve. So tell me about the first Aloha Screwdriver gig.
Yeah. Grant, you want to tell him?
It's the first Aloha Screwdriver gig got canceled. We were booked at this place in San Francisco. I don't think I'd ever been there. And it's the day of the show. We're all packed up and excited to play again. And then I don't know. Donald got a text from somebody, or he checked his email, or I know we just checked the website to see like, oh, what, you know, how are they advertising this? And turned out the club had stopped doing live music and maybe even shut down.
And nobody told us.
Yeah. Oh, so we just hung out with all our wives in Alameda instead.
But the upside to this was then we got booked to play with Southern Culture on the Skids at Great American Music Hall.
Yeah, good man.
So our technical first gig was that, which was way better than what would have been our first gig that got canceled. So it actually kickstarted us pretty quickly to playing bigger shows and you know, having a larger audience. So that was fun.
Did they throw chicken?
I think they did at that one, yeah.
Did you chow any of it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what about your first recording?
First record with we recorded to tape with our friend Brad at Little Red Wagon Studios. We went in and did a six or seven song EP and we recorded to 2-inch reel, right? 2-inch.
Yeah.
8 tracks. So, yeah, 8 tracks, no magic studio fixes or anything like that. We just did it live to tape.
8-track, 2-inch is pretty fat. I once saw heads at the record plant, and they were custom made by Studer. So if it was 2-inch, it was either 16-track or 24.
It might have been 1.5. I don't remember now.
I come from those days, so I kind
of
know.
Yeah, of course.
Okay?
Yeah, you can fact check us for sure.
Yeah.
It don't matter. What I'm interested in is how long did it take? You came in and played it like a gig, right? You had all the material written?
Yeah, it took a weekend, right? Two days?
I think we recorded that one in 2 days, yeah.
And what was your first tour like?
We've only done these like little tours where we've gone up either to the Pacific Northwest or down to Southern California.
You're talking about an I-5 tour.
Yeah, exactly. The first one we did was for a radio like festival up in Seattle, because they have a radio station up there, KEXP, that for a long time had a rockabilly show that had a bunch of surf music on it. And so they put on this festival called the Rockabilly Ball, and they always had a surf music night. So they invited us up. We might have even flown up for that one because we brought some family and stuff. It was great. I mean, it was so cool to be in this, completely different town, place we'd never played, and have this crowd who was just kind of hungry for this style of music, and then for us to be a little different and a little noisier and weirder, and people ate it up. It was fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Europe?
No.
Because, you know, in Spain, there's a huge, Italy too, garage scene, right?
Yeah.
Now, you just mentioned rockabilly in the same word you mentioned surf, but what about garage? Is that part two?
Yeah, I mean, we get booked with garage acts every now and then. I wouldn't, I don't think we quite incorporate that into our sound as much, but yeah, it's definitely all part of the same kind of stew of this like retro revival music that people are still into.
Right, the Trashmen do some. They're always playing over there, yeah. Right? And Thunderbird, right? What's the word? And that's got kind of a surf trip.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all rock and roll to me, you know.
That's right.
Maybe it's the beat. I remember asking Pear once about some of this electronic stuff. He said, "Mike, it's in the beats per minute." Okay. Sometimes, you know what I mean? It gets. I want to play. Wow, you got another foreign word here. Malagueña.
Thank you. elections. They stole the elections. They stole the elections. Yes, they stole. Yes, these elections, Baron Square.
A touch of madness.
Show last music for this edition, Loa Screwdriver with Malaguena, the cover. Where'd you first hear that?
I mean, a bunch of surf bands have covered it.
I'm curious, where'd you first hear it?
Again, it's probably Donald. He's the one who does all the surf research and then just brings this stuff to us. But yeah. I don't know. I think maybe Trashman did a cover.
Just curious, you know, because that's one of the touchstone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell him after that, Heal Ourselves. PNDC, I think he's in Berkey right now, New Mexico. PNDC and Housework with Touch of Mad. That's in Serbia, in Belgrade. And then finally, Alola Screwdriver, One Hearse Town. Okay, you know titles are very important in surf songs.
Yeah.
But also, you know, there was an England instrumental band. It was actually Cliff Richard's backup band, Shadows, really important to a lot of guitar players. That guy, Hank Marvin.
Yeah.
You know about him, but yeah. The idea of, like, kind of making the guitar lyrical so it could be the singer, like you were saying, Grant, in a way. What's next? What's you guys' next? Well, first I should ask you to tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, we're there. You want me to? Steve doesn't go on the internet, so he doesn't
I try not to use the internet, but...
We've got a website at alohascrewdriver.com.
Okay, spell that.
AlohascrewDriver.com.
Okay. And that's the place where you can get all kinds of information. And what's your next plan?
Oh, well, we put out this album, but, you know, there's no shows now. Nobody's doing live shows, so.
Well, they're postponed. They're going
to
be in the future.
Yeah, we're postponed. Well, then that's maybe what our plan is also, is our plan was to put out an album and, you know, go up on tour and play shows, but all of that got canceled, obviously, in March.
But Steve, what about using the situation to write new material? Since you're right, you can't play gigs. But how long do we fucking cry about that? We know about that shit.
Yeah, no, I totally
news.
Agree.
It ain't brand new news anymore.
Yeah, we should. We're definitely going to write new material. We actually just started rehearsing again. Like, we had taken a break.
Ah, there's that R word. I have yet to hear a basketball player say, hey, I'm going to go and rehearse some hoops.
Yeah.
If you're not doing any shows, how can you call it rehearse, right? That's getting ready for a show. So what's wrong with that P word?
We're rehearsing for our eventual return.
The P word I hate is...
Practice?
No. I love that one. I hate the one that some people call my show. Don't say it. Don't say it.
Oh, I see.
Don't say it. It's an internet show. It's an MP3 file that lives up on the... it's an MP3 file that lives up on the internet.
That's one of those terrible terms that stuck because of some technology that isn't even around anymore.
Yeah, they don't even make that machine. Why be a shill? Anyway, take back. Get back to the Aloha Screwdriver story. So you guys are going to write some new material and maybe record another album.
Definitely.
Yep. Donald's also talked about trying to plan a spectacular live show for our return. We haven't, like Steve said, we... have had two rehearsals in this whole time, so that's a little ways off. But yeah, I mean, I think we'll get.
Well, when you get this next album done, will you come back on the show and we can talk about it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
We don't have to go talk about the old days anymore. We already did that. It's been a big honor to have you aboard. Thanks for reaching out, Steve, and asking to be on the show because I love your music and I want you to keep on keeping on. Okay, people, it's been the September 16, 2020 Distro Walk for Peter Show. Keep your fire dry.